is interesting. While Brother Tony was introducing what we were going to speak, Steve and I turned to each other and says, well, we're done. He gave you the whole thing in a nutshell of what we want to share with you this evening. I want to thank Tony and Emil and John for the privilege to talk to you this evening. But, you know, you don't hear very often a lot of talk about your money. How many people have a full-time job? Okay. How many people have a part-time job? Okay. How many people get an allowance?
Yeah.
How many people have no money at all? What I want you to do right now is everybody go into your pocket or your purse or whatever it is that you have that you hold your money. Just take it out. Please. And I want you to do, what I want you to do is hold it up. Okay? Listen up. Now, what I want you to do is pass it to the person to your right. If that next to someone, pass it to someone else. Okay? All right. Okay. All right. Now, what I want you to do, we are going to take a collection. All right, we're going to pass the box, and I want you to open that person's wallet and make a contribution. We won't do it. But what I want you to do is just to think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. When it wasn't your money, and you are ready to give a collection, you are ready to just like, right?
You would give like you always wanted to give.
The fact of the matter is, that's the way it really is. The money you have is someone else's money. It belongs to the Lord. And what we just want to share with you real briefly this evening is something that is really a part of the faith walk, and that is how we deal with this thing called money. From the very first person who was marked as a man of faith, Abraham, his son, his son's sons, they were all very much into this matter of tithing. And tithing is they gave a tenth of what they possessed and gave it to the Lord. It's a matter of your faith walk. How we treat and how we handle our money is directly proportional to the way we practice our faith. And so what I want to just give you this evening is four principles from the Word of God about giving. There's a whole bunch more. I just picked four because they're easy to remember. You can write them down. And as you write them down and you think about them, I just want you to start to cultivate the habit and the practice that as part of my faith in response to God's goodness and grace to me, that out of what He's entrusted me, no matter how little it is, if it's the little bit of allowance I get, if it's the little bit from my part-time job, if it's my full-time job, that I am responding to Him with the money that He has entrusted to me. The first passage we want to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to look at four principles of giving, and I want you to just write these down, stick them away in your memory, and every time you get some money in your hand, whether it's a gift, a birthday gift, whether it's a paycheck, whether it's a allowance from your mother or your father, or whether it's your, you know, some inheritance that you get, whatever it is, we want to apply these four principles that we're going to look at tonight. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he has not. There are two principles in this verse that we want to highlight. The first one is willingly. Giving, Christian giving, is something that we willingly do. We willingly do it because we've measured the grace of God towards us. And we willingly want to respond to Him. That's the first principle. The second principle, it's proportional. So it's not like you have to look at what Dan's given to think about what I should give. You remember the story that Jesus was sitting in the seat by the temple, and the rich people walked by and they threw tons of money into the collection. And this poor widow came by and she just dropped two mites. And Jesus said she gave more than all that they gave. And so it's proportional. It's according to what God has entrusted you with. If He's entrusted you with $1, what are you going to do with it? Steve's going to do a little bit in a little while talking about the choices that we have with regards to money. But the first principle, it's willingly and it's proportionally. It's according to what you have. You know, sometimes we always think about and we're always spending time, oh man, I ain't got no money. I don't have no money. So-and-so's got money. He could go to the store and he could buy this, he could buy that, and I don't have it. God's not interested in what someone else has. He's interested in what He's trusted you with, and He wants you to proportionally give out of a willing heart. Those are the two principles we want to get out of this verse. Turn the page, and we're going to look at the third principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so the third principle we want to identify is cheerfully. One guy wrote and he says, God loves a hilarious giver. One who is just so overjoyed with the idea that he can participate in what God is doing to give to His work or to give to the needs of others. So we have willingly, proportionally, and cheerfully. And then the last one I want to share with you this evening is in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 16. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. This principle is regularly. So we have willingly, we have proportionally, we have cheerfully, and this one is regularly. You know, sometimes what happens is I'm thinking I've got to get this. And if we're thinking about what we need to get, we work and we save and we put together because we know that we're working towards some goal. And so we practice some regularity with regards to how we approach our desire to acquire things. And all this is saying is that, you know what? Part of your regular thinking, part of your regular mindset is that if I have what God has given to me, that I set some aside on a regular basis for His work and for the needs of His people. Four principles. I promised my daughters and I promised that I wouldn't be long. And that's the four principles I want to leave with you. Steve's going to talk to you a little bit about something else, and we're going to hand out a flyer to just help you keep these things in focus. Cheerfully, willingly, proportionally, and regularly.
So Mark alluded to just this one other aspect of money, and that is that money is always connected with choices. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that's the way it is, right? Money is connected with choices. If you've got a couple dollars, you can go to the value menu and get a couple of things. I'll move to this microphone.
if you've got a couple of dollars, you can go to McDonald's and get a couple of. Wow, this microphone works much better. I said it the second time, everybody laughed. Nobody laughed at that one. You got, you know, $20, $30, $40, you can go to a nice steakhouse and have a really nice dinner. You got a couple of dollars, you can get bus fare for across town. You have a couple hundred dollars, you can get airfare, go across the country. It's just the way it is that money is connected with choices. And this is illustrated by just the way that we use money all the time. We look in the sale papers, some of our parents clip coupons endlessly, right? You ever have something new, you know, some new food item. How come you were trying this? It was on sale and I had a coupon. We have to make choices with our money. Nobody has so much money that they don't think about how to use it. And just by the way, I remember when I first started teaching, that's my job, I'm a teacher, and when I first started teaching and I looked at the bottom of the pay scale, that is to say, really the top, what the teachers who had been there the longest were earning, I thought, man, what would I do with that much money? Well, I'm getting a little closer to some of that amount, and I know what I would do with it, and it still wouldn't be enough. You will never have enough money. That's the point. Okay, you will never have enough. So it's time to start thinking. It's always time to start thinking about the choices that you make. We want to inject into that not just the natural choices of good, intelligent, wise thinking about money, but we want to inject into that the thought of the Lord's aspect, the Lord's view of our money as well. This is illustrated by a little boy who he was sent off to Sunday school one Sunday morning by his mom. She wasn't going, but he was going. I guess she was sick or something, probably. And back when this meant something, she gave him 2 quarters. And she said, now, you walk right down to the Sunday school, and you put the first quarter in the box for Sunday school, right? And then after that, on the way home, you can get an ice cream and then come straight home. So as he's walking down the road to the Sunday school, one of the quarters dropped, and he watched it roll down the street and into the sewer. And about an hour and a half later, when he finally got home, he was in tears. And he told his mom, the quarter rolled down the street into the sewer. And she said, oh, that's okay. We'll get ice cream again another time. And he stopped crying. He said, no, no, that was okay. It was the Lord's quarter that went down the sewer. So the point is, how do we choose to use our money from the Lord's perspective? We're always making choices. But is our list of choices, does our list of choices include things the Lord could do with our money? And we are going to pass out in just a few moments a flyer that looks like this, and it asks you the question, what can you do with $50? And there are a few suggestions on top about some things that you can do ordinarily with $50. For example, you could go to Starbucks every day for 2 weeks and get a tall caramel macchiato. Every day for 2 weeks, you'd have enough. You'd go through about $50 probably. You'd be really hyped up too while you're doing it. But you would be able to do that. Or probably with that same $50, this is sort of an estimate, but I think it's probably right on track, you could contribute that $50 to some missionary, like a jungle evangelist, and he could buy motorbike fuel, and he could probably visit 6 new villages to bring the gospel with that same $50. You got a bunch of caffeine for 2 weeks. He gets to bring the gospel to maybe several dozen or several hundred people, and it might have an eternal impact. We're asking that you also include in your thoughts of choices regarding money, what can you do with your money? Probably more than you think. Mark alluded to the widow. And I just would like to have you turn there very briefly as we're passing these out. Find Luke chapter 21. And we're just going to pass these out while you're turning there. And then we're going to close with a thought from that portion. Luke 21. Okay, Luke 21. The reference here, we're not going to read all these verses, but you could scan the first few verses there in Luke 21, where the Lord Jesus is watching the rich. In verse 1 and 2, he's watching the rich in verse 1. He sees a poor widow in verse 2, putting in 2 mites. I just want to point out, this widow was making a choice at that moment that we want you to think about. We have four principles for how Christian giving should take place. And before that, there's the choice, do I care about Christian giving? Do I care about God's ability to use my money? I love the fact that she had two mites, because it says in Mark that two mites make a farthing. Now, I don't know what the value of a mite or a farthing is, but they're clearly very small pieces of money. But however, she had two mites. They equaled one larger piece of money. Let's say that she had two nickels and it equals a dime. Let's just, for the purposes of illustration. Now, she didn't have the dime, right? She had two coins that equaled the dime. But the two coins, she could have given one and kept for her, the other for herself, and it would have been a massively, percentage-wise, a massive gift. But she gave two. And I think that's such a clear indication that God loves to watch us give. It says on the handout, what can you do with $50? You might not have $50 to even think about giving. But you might have five. You might have two. You might have one. Or if you have one a week, then in a while, you have 50 eventually. What are you going to do with the money you do have? What are the choices that you can make? We want to encourage you to just put that, tuck that away as a piece of Christian maturity, is considering how to use your finances, how to use your material possessions for the Lord. It's a wonderful way to watch God take the little bit you have and find out what he can do with it, far more than you would ever think. Just one other thing, just as an illustration of this, a natural illustration of this. If you are one to use the internet, go to Google and type in Time Magazine, What the World Eats. Time Magazine, What the World Eats. And there's a pictorial representation there of various families from around the world. This is not a spiritual thing at all. It's just somebody who found an interesting idea. But it will shock you when you see the contrast of families in first and second world countries with plenty of food on the table and spending $300, $400, $500 for their families. And then you see a family who their meal for the week cost about $1.23. Your choices God can use in many places far more than you can even get out of that money here. Think about what God can do with your money. And may God encourage you and bless you as you consider that. Thank you again for your time.
There's a verse in the book of Psalms. It says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And, you know, it's my son Jason works for a boss, and he's reminded me of that several times. He says, well, my boss, he owns cattle on a thousand hills. And when we really come to understand that we are not our own, you know, Christ, he paid the ultimate price, and he purchased for himself a people. And you and I are that people. And when we get a hold of the fact that everything that we have, everything that we are, it's his. And he's given it to us to use, and we have a responsibility to answer to him, what did you do with what was given to you, and how did you use it? He's given it to us to use, and he's looking for a response, because it's really, it's his. It's not ours anyways. And that's what we really got to get a hold of. And since he's the mighty man of wealth, there's no shortage. There's no shortage. All right.